Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on The Score.
How is Roquan Smith? How has he been in meetings? How's his mentality? All that kind of stuff.
Same as he's been since the day I got here.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's been great through the process, and you know, he's not changed at all. I mean, honestly, he's been the same guy every day.
So you don't think he's the type of guy that whatever he's got going on would affect his play on the field, or is that just human nature that it possibly could?
No, I mean, to me, like Coach said, it was a personal issue. I found out about it when I got this. But to me, like, there's been no change, okay, in my opinion.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
It's Mark Grody with Mark DeLeon, the Bears linebacker coach from this past Tuesday. Grody will be in studio at 5 o'clock. This hour on The Score brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. It's a built-for-tough Bears Monday on The Score.
On Matt Nagy's lost challenge yesterday regarding the spot of Teddy Bridgewater when he decided to scramble, Khalil Mack goes for the ball and doesn't get it knocked out and falls off of the would-be tackle. Roquan Smith was waiting for the ball carrier and didn't take the party to him. He let Teddy Bridgewater come to him.
Yeah, it was blatant.
That's not Roquan Smith. Now, he made a couple plays. He had one really good play in coverage. But as a tackler, I haven't really been knocked out by what we've seen from Roquan Smith since his mysterious absence in week 4.
Texter writes in, you know, it's kind of pathetic that no one in the media has a source capable of giving info on Roquan's quote-unquote issue. There could be a reason for that, sir or ma'am. If it has to do with health, medicine, healthcare, there are legality issues there, which is, at this point, given that nothing has come out about Roquan Smith, I'll read between the lines and assume that it has something to do with a medical thing where there would be privacy restrictions in play.
Yeah.
That's what I'm assuming it is.
Yeah, it does.
So I'm just saying, like, that's why no one is reporting on what's going on with Roquan Smith, because there are laws against it. But the Bears, outside of Trubisky and Nagy, who everyone wants to talk about, Adam Shaheen, when he showed up for that 2-point conversion yesterday, I was like, oh, that's what he was supposed to be. And I know Matt Nagy correctly.
Was beating up on backups?
Well, listen, I know, but it was the only thing that Matt Nagy said today that I actually liked. He said, I'm not putting any stock into anything that happened in the fourth quarter and garbage time. Mitch's two touchdowns happened on the last two drives of the game. 7 of their 10 biggest plays happened in the fourth quarter.
Right.
That was nonsense what happened at the end.
But and you had the help of Michael Thomas, blowing the onside kick, which I was shocked a veteran player would be that goofy. It has to go 10 yards. If it's sitting there at 7 or 8 yards, why in the hell are you trying to dive on the ball? The hell's wrong with him? He had a good game otherwise.
It was odd, and the onside kick rule change sucks.
Yes.
It's terrible. It eliminates a realistic chance of converting, and then the Bears waste the two times that they convert in a game that's completely meaningless because it's gotten out of hand. So that was terrible. The play that you mentioned, Roquan Smith, add that to the list of why instant replay is broken, by the way. I know the Bears are broken, so that feels like a more pressing issue.
Right.
But that's insane.
Did you see the end of the Chargers and Titans?
Of course I did.
With all of the reviews on whether ball carriers broke planes, they reviewed 3 plays in succession, and all of them swing the outcome of the game. So you bet your ass they're going to take their sweet old time, and they did. I walked out of the room. I walked back in, and I said, they're still in challenge. Yes, and then it happened again. And was it Eckler who fumbled on the last attempt? I think it was Austin Eckler who fumbled.
I thought it was Gordon. But yeah.
One of the two. They were trying them both in there at the goal line. But, yeah, and then he fumbles away the ball, and game over. So,
well,
yeah.
But they overturned two plays that did not seem at all indisputable to me that they overturned them. And then in the Bears-Saints game, Matt Nagy challenges the spot. Video clearly shows Teddy Bridgewater's ass on the ground, ball short of the line to gain. Looked like they should have backed it up a half yard.
I thought it was closer than most did. I thought I thought it was worth the challenge. I won't criticize Nagy for that. I thought it was worth it to take that, lose that timeout.
See, I thought that image was
clear.
Clear.
It was from one angle, not from another.
Yeah. So I was just.
And if they see one where it's not clear, it ain't getting overturned.
Right, that's indisputable. But Pereira said the same thing. Like, he goes, I think this is going to get overturned. And then they go to Al Riveron, and he goes, call stands. So not call confirmed, which was indisputable that it was correct, just call stands. So there it is, another issue where people say, or another example, I just want replay to get it right. Okay? Mike Pereira says he would have ruled that one differently than Alberto Riveron ruled it. That's two referees looking at the same video from the same angles. They have access to the exact same things, and one is saying overturned, one is saying call stands. That's the problem with instant replay in a nutshell. We don't get consensus on the back end of it. Mm-hmm. You and I look at a play, see two different things. Okay, you and I aren't trained eyes.
Right.
Those guys are trained eyes. Yep. Look at it.
They see different things, right?
So what are we doing?
Yeah. And you were right. It was Melvin Gordon wearing 25 these days.
Yeah.
Eckler is wearing 30. Well, I assume they'll both grace the end zone this coming week. And I'll smack me if I call the Chargers San Diego again, all right? This is what, year three there in L.A.? Get it right.
My dad used to always do that with Memphis State whenever he'd talk about college basketball. Oh, Memphis State. Dad, it's Memphis. I'm the same way with San Diego, L.A. Chargers.
They're always good. That bolt is always San Diego to me, but they've been gone for 3 years now.
Phillip Rivers is still there.
Yeah, right.
Uniform's the same, and the game's in Chicago. So just say the Chargers. Right, that's the easiest.
The Chargers.
The Los Angeles Superchargers just doesn't have the same ring.
No, it does not. I know that the Chargers are bad, and I know that the Chargers are more banged up than the Bears, but does it feel like the Bears should be a 5.5-point favorite over anybody Miami?
No. Other than Miami, no.
That's
Washington, maybe.
And I don't even know if you would get to double digits with the Bears and Dolphins. You probably would. If it were here, you would. Hell, Buffalo was a 17 or a 17.5-point favorite.
Oh, yeah. Let me pay you right now.
No, it's all right. Stop bringing that game up because that's the only reason you're bringing it up. It's not.
We were talking about the Dolphins. I know.
This is great stream content, guys.
Yeah, here it is.
Cash money.
Oh, actually, here. Leftover from the poker.
Get for this. Big Danny boy. Cummings money.
You can have the old C-note.
10 more and I can see my bookie.
10 more of those?
10 more of these. I'm sorry, 11 more.
Oh, well.
11 more, yeah. I owe him $1,200.
Rough start to the season?
Well, 6 weeks. Right? Yeah. 7 weeks, actually. If I lay off tonight, it's only $1,200 for 7 weeks.
Hey, yeah, one of them you sat out.
Yes, I did, except for the Monday night. Played last Monday night and lost, too.
Yeah, I'm terrible.
You guys brought up the Shaheen 2-point conversion. Anything else stick out to you at that point, just visually from it?
The goofy way he puts the ball down?
Not so much that. Just the fact that your tight end is wearing that clean of a jersey at that point in the game. That you can't trust. You can't have him on the... What that said to me is, he wasn't out there on the field because you can't trust him to do anything else.
Yeah, that's fair.
They did play double tight end a few times
with
Shaheen and J.P. Holtz, which I liked, but they just...
What happened with that?
Well, with one run, that's enough. That's all Matt Nagy. If Matt Nagy could do it his way, he would outlaw the run. He would.
I don't think that's true.
Doug Buffon used to want... Doug used to say they should outlaw the forward pass. And boy, were there people screaming for Doug Buffon and Ed Obradovich yesterday after that debacle at Soldier Field. But I think, if Matt could get it done, he would outlaw it. So you'd only throw the ball. Then he wouldn't have to listen to people remind him he doesn't run the ball enough.
I think that you want a coach who is more likely to pass than run. I think in 2019, that is still the best way to do it. But
right, but his scale is like
I'm in agreement with you. I'm in agreement with you. I'm just saying, I'd rather him err on the side of passing than running, but this is ridiculous. I mean, what, 5 runs in the first half when it's a 2-point game?
Yeah, yes. Early on, we were 0-1-2 on our yards running the ball.
So stop.
It's really simple math. As a play caller, when it's 2nd and 9, and 2nd and 10, and 2nd and 8, and you're moving the ball, throwing it, you're getting first downs throwing it. That's what the objective is to get first down. So I don't care if I have to throw the ball 60 times a game. If that's what's going to help us win a game, or if I have to run it 60 times, I don't care. I want productive plays.
He won't run it 60 times the rest of the year.
He probably won't. And, I mean, one of those first downs, as every Bears beat writer pointed out, was a Tariq Cohen, 9-yard run, and then they passed it 13 or 14.
13 straight runs, yes.
Yeah, 13 straight passes.
Then the first play, the first two runs were stopped at the line and said, there they are, the Bears are in mid. This is what they do. They average 1.9 yards per rush on first down. So throw it on first down, get yourself 5 or 6 yards, and then see if that defense respects the passing game a little bit, doesn't stack 8 in the box and shut down your running game, where you're constantly having running backs get flooded with contact before they even get to the point of attack.
Did you hear?
I'm getting worked up again.
I don't know why.
I'm sweating.
You don't really care this much. You don't you don't get mad
I'm
about
mad
the Bears.
I'm mad at myself for not calling out that quarterback 10 minutes after I first heard him speak.
Well, okay. I mean, Terry Bradshaw isn't the brightest bulb in the box, and he won 4 Super Bowls. So I will not start evaluating my quarterbacks based on press conference.
Terry Bradshaw also had a decade worth of the best defense ever.
Agreed.
Before the first game was played last year, you and I argued about Mitch Trubisky, and I said, I don't believe he's a leader of men. When I hear him talk, I don't hear anything that would inspire confidence from those around him. And those around him, some of whom have been in his corner and have suggested otherwise, but I don't see it. I see a guy who isn't ready and probably never will be for a professional starter's job at this position.
And I think that stuff is so far down on the list of issues with Trubisky, it's not even funny. He's a fine, the guys like him. That's not the issue.
Everybody likes everybody around here. The Cubs liked each other, too. How'd that work for him? The Bears like each other. Matt Nagy wants to be liked.
That has nothing to do with it. The issue is the guy doesn't know how to read a defense. He can't make a throw. He panics. He has terrible football IQ. He doesn't know how to make a decision on an RPO. The guy can't grasp an offense.
That parlays into your smarts, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but you're talking about leader of men.
Leadership, yes. He's not a leader. Why is he not a leader? Maybe he lacks the requisite skills that go with being a leader.
But see, when I see him out there, I don't look at it as leader. The guys are hanging their heads because he can't hit them when they're open. Not because they don't want to have a beer with him, or doesn't have a good command of the huddle. Anthony Miller gets pissed at him because when he finally is on the field and he finally knows a route, because the guy doesn't know the offense and it's 3rd and 2, and he puts an awesome move on the guy out of the slot. And if Mitch just hits him with a simple lob pass over the corner, it's a touchdown, and he throws it like it's a Hail Mary. Taylor Gabriel, 3rd and 5, airmails it on a simple out pattern. Like, this is ABC stuff. It should be very easy, and Mitch is he's shockingly bad at the easy. He misses 2 throws a quarter that are layups. You got to make your layups and your free throws before you can start hitting on threes, and he gives away the easy ones.
He does. He's bad, and his head coach makes it harder on him by never sticking to the run. Marlon Mack was stoned the first few times the Colts tried to run it at Houston yesterday, too. Frank Reich didn't abort it. He gave it to his running back 18 times. They called 24 runs in the game.
Let's go to Bronzeville and welcome Bobby to the Score. What up, Bobby?
Hi, guys. thanks for having me. Couple things. With no quick fix for the O-line on the horizon and no first-round pick, and we have 2 second-round picks, I was thinking we could bring a quarterback in with Trubisky next year just to offer some kind of competition, maybe kickstart him. And if that doesn't work, maybe get that new guy in there. And the one guy I'm thinking about is De'Aaron King from Houston. I'll hang up and let you guys talk.
Don't know anything about him. Way too early for me to scout this year's college kids. It is supposed to be a very good draft for quarterbacks, so having two second-round picks puts Ryan Pace in a very interesting position. He could package those twos and move up to go in the first round if he so desires.
Possibly.
And that wouldn't surprise me if he were thinking something like that. Probably isn't today, but down the road he might do something like that. He always has been willing to trade up to get his guy if he finds a guy. And there are supposed to be a bunch of them out there. Look, I'd like to see him draft a guy if they keep those twos. Draft a quarterback, the best one on the board when you have your first, second-round pick, and augment the roster by finding somebody else. Do both. You don't have to pay a second-round quarterback anything.
No, you don't. It's such a horrible thought, though, because the whole point of where this team is supposed to be is these two second-round picks are supposed to be complementary, right? You've spent all of this money in free agency and contracts and bringing in veterans, and you're supposed to have your quarterback on your rookie deal entering year four in the league, year three in the system. You're supposed to be coming off back-to-back double-digit win seasons, and it's like, oh, okay, you know, we need a strong safety and a right tackle. So you focus on that with the second round picks, not another project at quarterback. It's just it feels like hitting the reset button. That's what that game yesterday.
Well, that's what they have to do, don't they?
Probably. And we'll know in 10 games. In 10 games, we'll know.
Yeah, I think we have a pretty good idea now.
I agree. We were talking about it earlier. Is it 10%? Is it 15%? What are the chances that this thing is salvageable? It's not zero. Right? It's not 0%.
By salvageable, you mean make a playoff appearance this year?
I mean Mitch Trubisky.
That he plays give you a reason to believe next year he might. Oh boy.
Yeah, it's low. I'm with you. It's not good. He was awful yesterday. He looks incompetent. I don't think it's zero. And so that's why when the reporters are doing their job and they're asking, did you ever consider benching Mitch for Chase Daniel? I don't want them to.
It never occurred to me yesterday that would be the answer.
I want to bottom out with Mitch.
Yeah,
right. Sink or swim.
Let there be no doubt. This guy sucks.
Exactly. Figure it out.
Yeah, 10 more times of it. 40 more quarters of Mitch.
And if you have to sink this season to do it, then that's the cost of doing business. But you've got to figure out whether or not Mitch is the guy. We hear from you coming up. Grody at 5 on the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't understand this offense. They ran the ball 7 times. You got Mitchell Trubisky throwing a ball over 50 times. He's not that type of quarterback. And also, they're 2 for 12 on third down, meaning the defense is on the field every 3 plays. The defense is tired. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how talented you are. You have to get rest.
And when you're not doing much on offense, the other team's offense can play conservative. They don't have to throw the ball all over the field. They can just dial it down. And that's what's happened to the Bears' defense these last 2 weeks.
A little bit of a surprise for Chicago.
Rodney Harrison, Mike Tirico, and Tony Dungy, Football Night in America. This hour on The Score brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Hoops at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale at NUSports.com. Yeah, why take a risk against the Bears defense when you're playing with a lead and the offense can't catch up?
Yeah, there's no reason to.
Outside the box thought, I don't know if you heard Pat Manley with
I heard about it. I did not. I wasn't listening when he checked in.
I heard it live, and Dan was saying today, he's like, I'm welcoming all meatball thoughts because, you know, basically no idea is a bad one when things are as broken as this. And Pat does all of his analysis, and he answers all of their questions for the first 14, 15 minutes of the interview, and then he goes, hey, can I posit my meatball idea? And they go, sure. And it's not a terrible idea from where I'm sitting, because as soon as he said it, I knew exactly where he was going. He said, sit Allen Robinson. bench him. Not for forever.
The only player who's doing anything on your offense.
Right. He basically called it Mitch Trubisky's blankie. He's like, if you take away his security blanket, it will force him
to really crap his pants.
To read the defense, progress 1, 2, 3, and not just where's number 12, where's 12, where's 12, where's 12. If this thing gets really ugly, uglier, and all of a sudden you're 3-6 instead of 3-3, what's the harm in doing that for a couple of series? It's not the worst idea I ever heard.
No, it's never going to happen. That I guess that's what I would say makes it a bad idea. Okay. I get what he's saying. Trubisky does rely way too much on the guy.
I'd like to see him figure out a way to go through his progressions. And I don't... How do you do that? How do you force him to look elsewhere than Allen Robinson?
You'd think experience, but that's not doing it.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you. You would think... A lot of this you would think experience. You would think headset goes out, experience kicks in. You would think... Experience, hey, we haven't run the ball at all. Maybe up one on an RPO, right? I'll give this one to a running back.
Those thoughts must not go on up in his gray matter. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, Danny. He's not bright.
It's not looking good. Pick a call, Mac. Who do you want?
Let's try Bill in New Lenox, Lewis.
What's up, Bill? You're on the Score.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. You know, I've been listening all day, and it's just a thought as it relates to play calls, right? So early in the game, you know, we have a play call that is an option, and they're running Mitch to the right, exposing his left damaged shoulder during an option play.
You know,
which netted in, I think, a 4-yard loss.
I'm so glad I picked your call, Bill, because there was something else that was fatally flawed about that play, and I agree it's silly to expose the left shoulder to him. You don't run option to the short side of the field. Are you doing? He had nowhere to go.
My son plays college football. We're watching a game together, and that play occurred. We were already questioning ourselves and scratching our head. What's going on? I'm trying to figure out what the game plan is. And then that play happened. And right then and there, we pretty much knew that the game plan didn't exist. So that was my thought, man. And I appreciate you taking my call. And Danny Mac, I agree with your hiccup relief. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Bill. I'm glad I've cured you of hiccups for now and forever.
That was incredible. If we had the video stream up there, you would have been saving thousands of people all across Chicago.
Yeah, we'll let it happen organically again next time.
Next time I get the hiccups, I'll let you know.
People will be tweeting at me and Facebook. Can you give me your cure for hiccups? Can you give me your pork ribs and sauerkraut? You got to listen.
Download the podcast on the new radio.com app.
Yeah, you can rewind it.
Yeah, boom. If you missed the recipe.
Boom.
Throwing recipes at
there
you.
They go.
Oh, God. Did it dawn on you? So benching Trubisky did not dawn on you. It did not dawn on me
No.
either. Another line of questioning after the game was, would you consider giving up play calling? That was asked of Matt Nagy.
It was suggested by the former Bears on Lawrence's show on NBC Sports Plus.
Yeah, I guess I can't say it definitively, but as close to definitively as I feel like I know where Matt Nagy comes from, his coaching lineage, the whole thing, he's not going to do it.
Not a chance.
I cannot see a scenario where he gets this gig as a head coach. He's the offensive guy. He implements the system, and then he gives up the fun part.
It would be an admission of conclusive failure, and there's no way he's at that level of frustration yet. And
I agree.
I don't think he will be throughout the course of this season. That's not going to happen.
And what he said to the answer, what I thought was interesting, was he goes, and if that happened, you wouldn't know about it. Because he'll still have the play sheet, he'll still be on the headset, and he's just not going to tell people publicly if Mark Helfrich or something is calling it, or Brad Childress is calling the plays.
Except his little sign that says BU will say, be Mark Helfrich.
Right.
That'll tip us off.
That's the one change. Hey, Mark, be you. But yeah, I think they have to sink or swim with Trubisky. For the next 10 games, I think you've got to sink or swim with Matt Nagy. You hired him to do this. he's the coaching candidate that's actually here, right? Brad Childress isn't the coach of the future for the Bears. Neither is Mark Helfrich.
No.
You're going, right? This is Matt Nagy's show.
He's the coach for the rest of this year and all of next.
Nagy.
After that, I don't know. I don't know. They missed the playoffs this year and again next. You got to deep six him.
Yeah, you're right. And then.
Then you buy it. Then you bite off a year of contract, right? He did a 4-year deal. 4 years is the standard, right? Isn't that what he got?
Yeah, 4 or 5 years. It depends on, you know, what team you're signing on is the standard. But yeah, the problem is lining everything up. Because if you don't want Pace to pick the next quarterback, and you need a quarterback this offseason, you fire Pace, but then the next GM is going to want his own coach.
Man, this happened so fast.
Yeah, I know.
Sure did.
I know.
But week 4.
It seemed like the John Fox era lasted forever, and now this is already, it's done. There's nothing we can do about it.
do you think we're overreacting?
No. That was a franchise-changing, eye-opener yesterday. Hey, this is a team playing shorthanded, an NFC rival that's competing for an NFC crown without their quarterback, without their marquee offensive attraction in Kamara, and they beat the living hell out of you for 4 quarters.
In your house off a bye.
In your house off of a bye. Your coach looked like his game plan was, I don't know what the hell he did during the bye week. That was embarrassing, a pathetic start to start. I don't know about that, Matt. You seem like a nice guy, but I'm not so sure about that. You stating that part of it. It's just that is a you have to consider all things with this franchise now. And further on your point from the okay change in the coach, does Ryan Pace deserve to hire a third coach?
No. Nagy leaves, Pace is gone with him.
Yeah. And I don't want Pace anywhere near my offense either.
Yeah.
Get him out of the room when you're picking offensive players.
I think in terms of job security, Mitch has the least, followed by Pace, followed by Nagy.
I'd say that's accurate.
Right?
That's about right.
And they all deserve blame, and all of them had a bad day yesterday, obviously. But, again, who is best at their job? I think Nagy is still the answer.
Yeah, you can't have the thing where the new GM comes in. He's got to keep the old coach around. We can't have that cycle repeat itself over and over and over again.
Correct.
3 weeks ago, to Tanny's point about this happening so fast, 3 weeks ago, we all sat here and said, yep, this defense, man, I never thought I'd say that defensive line might be as good as the boys in 85. And I felt that way about the linebacking core last year. And I think the secondary, Kyle Fuller has made a believer in me. And it was deserved, but you know what it was? We all got drunk on Nick Williams and Roy Robertson-Harris when they came on in relief of an injured Akeem Hicks against the Vikings, when the snowball already had started rolling downhill and engulfing Vikings front seven players. That thing was already starting to tilt in the Bears' favor. And when he gets knocked out for the season against the Raiders, we learned that, Monday of last week. He's on IR for at least 8 weeks. I thought hell was coming to breakfast, but I didn't think it was going to be that freaking fast.
I said after the Vikings game.
My God, Latavius Murray, for crying out loud.
I said after the Vikings win that it was the best or second best win of Matt Nagy's tenure. It was either that game or the Rams game.
And yesterday was the absolute worst of Matt Nagy's tenure.
That's right.
Undisputed. That's as bad as Green Bay opening night, because you had the excuse that you didn't play anybody in the preseason.
Yep.
It was accurate, but it was still an excuse. You didn't really have an excuse. Akeem Hicks mean that much? I guess so. I guess he does. That's what a disruptive defensive lineman can do for you. That is just not those other guys. That there's a reason they played behind him, and the guys who played behind them. They ain't that good.
When
they ain't as good as we thought they were.
When you hear Matt Nagy talk about a splintered team and the media and not letting negativity come in, is there a team or a default example where you go to and say, That's the example of where that happened.
Yeah, the 89 team.
The 89 team is where you go.
The 89 team was a disaster, and I don't think Nagy will do this, but the great one, as Tom Brenneman likes to refer to Mike Ditka, had a lot to do with that. He helped fracture that team. Set after a bad performance by his cornerbacks, including Donnell Wolford, who was usually a pretty good player. I don't think we'll win another game the rest of the year. The offense and defense were pointing fingers at each other, which also was the case in 85, but they were just so good on both sides of the ball. They got away with that, and they didn't. Ditka was right. They didn't win a game the rest of the year, and they went from going to the NFC Championship game where they got cracked by the 49ers 28-3 following the 88 season to 6-10 in 1989. So that was one of those where I thought there was a lot of division. We talked to Thayer maybe later in the week. He was around for that. We'll see if he agrees with me on that. But I thought that team was a divided team.
I've seen it happen where, one side of the ball is much better than the other, which
a Bears tradition.
Exactly. It's very applicable here. Nagy speaking it so openly tells me that he's genuinely worried about it. And you see it when Mitch airmails a guy and a receiver hangs his head a little bit, or he throws up his arms.
Yeah, you saw some of that yesterday.
You finally started to see it.
Why does our quarterback suck?
Exactly. And that's when you get to pointing fingers, and it happens in teams where they're playing the veteran quarterback instead of the young guy when they know that the young guy is better than the veteran, like with the Giants earlier this year with Eli Manning and Daniel Jones. You just can't do it for a long time because the guys in the locker room know that there's someone else better. So as soon as the locker room loses faith in Trubisky, it's over. And I don't know if they're completely there yet. We have no idea. But it feels like that Matt Nagy thinks we're very close to that.
Well, why are key members of the team running away and hiding after the game and not talking to reporters? Is it
because they're coddled?
Because they fear what they're going to say? I'm just saying, I'm not saying it's true, but I just wonder if you're Khalil Mack and you just bolt as soon as you get dressed and don't talk to anybody, is it because you don't want to say the wrong thing about your ineptitude at quarterback? Could be.
Yeah, absolutely. And that defensive performance, at some point there's going to be resentfulness there, right? They're going to say, how much longer are we going to expect it to carry this thing?
Yeah.
It's just unreasonable. We're on the field for 37, 38 minutes. The quarterback can't throw a five-yard out.
Here's the thought. Yes, the offense had a lot to do with that, but if you don't tackle a large man up by his shoulder pads, you're going to be on the field. You're going to be on the field for a long time against the Chargers, too, if that's how you go about it. Latavius Murray yesterday. Look, that guy is not as good as he looked, but when you're tackling him up here at the chest, I saw Roquan Smith do it. I saw Khalil Mack do it. I saw Trevathan do it. Eddie Jackson did it. Clinton Dix just ran around, did the Olay technique, didn't want anything to do with it. That's not a great running back. That is a pedestrian running back who wasn't wanted in Oakland. He wasn't wanted in Minnesota, and he's the second guy in New Orleans. And yesterday he looked like he was an all-pro because your tackling form was despicable.
And I don't think that they forgot how to tackle. I'm wondering if it is, we don't need to give 100% here. This quarterback stinks.
I don't think they're in good shape. Esiason wouldn't go there with me at 3 o'clock, even though I tried. It's a couple of years of it now where after the bye, their tongues are hanging on the ground. All of them. The same thing last year It was hot. Dolphins didn't have a problem. Well, they're there all the time. Okay, are you right? It was hot. It was hot, and you had 2 weeks off. Same thing this time. 2 weeks they went by, and they looked like they were out of shape.
I think they're mentally checked out about their quarterback and their offense. I think it is frustration seeping over, and that's why Nagy publicized what he did. The defense didn't give its best effort because they know that this offense is just saddled on them like an 800-pound gorilla.
Yeah, and once that snowball starts rolling downhill, it's hard to stop it. There is nothing more dehumanizing in sports than being a member of a front seven when you can't stop the run. That's bad.
This segment brought to you by the Chicago Fire Soccer Club. The Fire are headed back to Soldier Field in 2020 to outscore the Bears. Join the movement today by placing a $20 deposit applicable to any 2020 ticket pass. package or visit or single game ticket, including the club's Soldier Field home opener versus Atlanta United. Visit chicago-fire.com to learn more.
I don't remember the year, but the late Doug Buffon used to tell a story about how the Bears defense, I think it was Butkus who led the charge, so it would have been 66, 67, 68 in there. When Butkus got up at halftime at in the locker room in Denver and said, "You SOBs, you stay here. If that's to the offense, if that's the best you can do, Abe or whoever was coaching the team, Jim Dooley, we'll play offense. Keep those pieces of crap off the field because they're not interested."
Mark Grody on Halas Hall and where the hell they go from here. Plus, your Bears therapy continues on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You know, I don't have to talk to Matt, talk to Danny. You know, you can see the frustration on Danny's face. You can see the frustration on Mac's face.
Watch the Facebook stream. You'll see them both.
No question. That's Eddie Jackson with Mully and Haw.
Haw.
You hear him 8 a.m., day after Bears game, then Friday at 5 with us.
He made it today.
He sure did.
Woo-hoo.
He gave a little insight into this disconnect that Matt Nagy's talking about and where the players are at and where they're going to try to hold each other accountable.
I won't say slipping away, but we know it's that our chances are getting thin if we keep going out there doing what we're doing, you know, and especially on the defense side of the ball. Like, I don't have to speak to the guys just to know, you know. I don't have to talk to Matt, talk to Danny just to know how they feel. You know, you can sense it. You know, you can see the frustration on Danny's face. You can see the frustration on Mac's face, you know, how he sounded when he called it up and he was talking to us. You know, it's just you just feel it. You know, it's certain guys, you feel it. You know, it's certain guys, you set a high standard, the bar set high for them. So when things is not going well or how things should go, you can feel the body language and the energy. Like, man, we got to get it together, man. We got to turn this around. And like I said, man, I've been saying it since camp. The team we have is special. You know, we good enough to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. It's just us. We got to play with that passion that we had last year. We got to play with the swag, and we got to go out there and fly around and make plays. Not just when things going good, but when things going bad. That's why I feel like our downfall is right now. When things going good, everyone is up. Everyone's happy. When things go bad, 1 minute, everyone's down. No, we got to keep that up. You know, see how we respond. Because now you put us in these type of situations during camp, OTAs, a quick change of the field, you know, offense fumbles, or defense got to go out there. Like, we've been through these things in practice. You know, we're aware of these situations that they're going to happen in the game. So for us, we just got to continue to respond, continue to play with passion, continue to play with high energy, fly around. And right now, we're not doing that when we get down or somebody make a big play on us. Everyone drops their head and, you know, they feel like the game is over, but we got to continue to go and play and have fun. That's the biggest thing.
I didn't see head hanging until it was out of hand. And that's nice that he would point the thumb at the defense, but I haven't seen much of that. And that's been a unit that certainly has had a reason to hang its head because it's having to carry this offense for a year and a half now almost under Matt Nagy, but I don't see a ton of it. Yesterday, yes, there was evidence in the middle of the third quarter that they didn't feel like there was any way they were coming back, and they weren't playing hard, and good players. Guys, we've called great players were standing around with their hands on their hips because they were on the backside of a play. Run to the ball like you always do. You run there, you get 11 guys touching the guy. That's what they work on in practice. Every defensive coordinator says, 11 guys got to touch the guy with the ball, and that's usually how they do it. It wasn't the case yesterday. A lot of hip-hugging.
I am just worried about this team cracking apart at the seams. We talked about it in the offseason. Olin would make the point. Cody Parkey was the scapegoat for last year's team that was far from perfect. And so everyone said, if we only had a kicker.
And we do now. Just can't get in field goal range.
That is absolutely part of it. And now they're dealing with adversity, and they look like a group that doesn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, this is the first crisis Matt Nagy has had as head coach. And be very eager to see how he finds his way out of this little maze. Because losses to the Raiders in London and getting a moon pounding at home to New Orleans, missing three of its best four offensive players, is a new definition for embarrassment since he's come here.
When you just all of a sudden you start to see guys talking about things that don't matter. You got guys ditching out of the locker room, making that a story. Matt Nagy saying, you know, stay together. I don't want it to be splintered. Don't let the media divide us. And then Allen Robinson picking fights with people on Twitter. Tariq Cohen clapping back at the video of the Saints players mocking him for being short.
That one was weird to me, too. It can't be the first time he's been told he's short.
Well, that was basically his point. He's like, this is a stupid dig. Like, you think I don't know that I'm short?
Stupid. Why would he bring attention to it then if it's
right.
So stupid?
Seems like it's touching a nerve.
Oh, I agree with you, but I'm just saying, especially when it comes on the heels of Matt Nagy saying, don't listen to any of this
stuff.
You're
right, though. They can't. They've had their phone on their hip for their entire lives.
It's impossible.
Stay off the Twitter and all that. And if you're going to do something like that, just wish somebody happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Mark Cracker.
Mark Grody in studio.
There's a cracker.
Did he hear any, you know, solutions? What did you? There used to be the problems window.
Jerry Angelo used to offer, well, I want to hear some solutions.
Yeah. So let's hear if Mark Grody has any from his time on the sideline and at Halas Hall. Moby Ditka in studio next on a Built for Tough Bears Monday on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.